It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
Opening day in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, glad you're with us at 95.7 FM and AM 950, and always excited to talk to the Hall of Famer, 13-WHAM Sports Director, Buffalo Plus, Mike Catalana, stepping in the shoes of Dan Fates, who normally joins us every week at this time. And do we have an update on Fatesy? How's he feeling, Mike? What do we know?
You know, we were doing our podcast, and his voice was cracking. You know, he's at that age now. His voice is starting to come
adorable.
Through. And I told him in the podcast, I'm like, you know how many of our viewers are going to be very excited that you're losing your voice? And so then it was sort of gone. And then he asked me if I could step in. I said, absolutely, because, you know, I'll have – and we'll take some shots at the Braves since he's not here.
Oh, yeah. I'm on board. You know, the Braves taking on the Padres today, and that's kind of where they went out. The way I kind of view this, you know, maybe Dan is just feeling bad about his team, and, you know, he realizes he can't go toe-to-toe when talking about the Mets and the Braves.
All right, here. All right. Settle down.
Do you know what it is? I would say my shot at the Braves is they're not going to be that much better than the Mets this year.
Okay.
Oh, you're backhanded.
Braves
in second, Mets in third. Obviously, Phillies win the division.
Obviously, but I mean, are we really having a conversation when my prediction for the season in Major League Baseball is that the LA Dodgers will win 157 games?
Wow, why are you going so low? Under or over? Yeah, they are loaded again.
You know, before we get to the Bills, is that good for baseball? Like having the Dodgers? I've heard the argument both ways, Mike.
It's not bad for baseball that there is someone out there that spends a ton of money and other teams spend the money. It's what's bad for baseball is, I'll put it this way. What's bad for baseball is not the teams that are spending crazy. It's the teams that spend nothing. And, the problem is, it's so funny. I think of how greedy NFL owners are in general. Sorry about the noise here. How greedy they are. But way back in the day, it was the Giants owner who said, hey, we got to share this revenue if this is going to work. And it ended up being the greatest thing ever for the sport because that's why all 32 teams can compete. And baseball is just a mess that way. They do need to do something because unless you're going to allow a team in Pittsburgh or Cincinnati or wherever to be able to bring in more revenue, they're not going to get the network revenue like they do in the NFL. Then I think it's bad. It does seem a little obscene what the Dodgers can do, when you're talking about when the Yankees and the Phillies and the Mets look at them and go, oh, that team spends a lot of money. Yeah. But they do spend a lot of money. Hey, and they are spending it on their players. If you're a Dodgers fan, it's like you're watching an all-star team when they're out there. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, you still got to win. And last year, I mean, they did. They figured out a way to get it done, but we'll see what happens.
I'll say why it's a good thing for Major League Baseball. We all have a common villain. You need a villain in a sport. You want somebody that you can hate because they spend too much money or you don't like the ball. The thing that sucks about it is the greatest player of our generation is playing for that team, and I want to root for Shohei, but he happens to be a part of this collective of all-stars that you're mentioning, and they're a villainous organization right now.
And you know what else is different about it, too, is that in many other sports, when teams spend big, you know, and try to buy players, it doesn't work, right? It just doesn't always work. But in baseball, it does work. It really does. It's hard to be, you know, every once in a while you get a team like the Tigers last year that had no payroll and they win games. But most of the time, it's you got to have those guys, and in a 162-game season, those great players usually come through, and you spend the money, you get the results. But you are right. I love hate in sports. I think it's what makes it work. And so it is funny, though, when other teams that spend a lot can look at the Dodgers as the evil empire. It's kind of funny to see.
Buffalo plus 13 win. Mike Catalana pinch hitting for Dan Fates today here in the sports bar. Mike, turning to the Buffalo Bills here, the Bills gap between themselves and the New England Patriots, how would you describe it?
Well, look, I look at the Patriots and I think, all right, they upgraded in coach because I think Vrabel will give them the energy. I think he's, you know, obviously, you know, they were a mess last year, the Patriots. So that's an automatic upgrade. I think Drake May in his second year makes them better. I think the division is to be, not the division itself, but second place in the division is certainly up for grabs. And there's no reason New England can't take that step. Now, can Drake May do a 2019 Josh Allen year where he's got some help? You know, they brought in, you know, John Brown and Cole Beasley, and now you're bringing in Diggs, albeit coming off the knee, to help him out. They still need a lot of help on that offense. I think the defense will be better. Yeah, I think there's still a gap. I mean, starts with 17, right? Drake May looks like he could be a pretty good player, but we have no idea yet, and Josh Allen's the MVP of the league. So it's still a long way away, but I think they have a legitimate shot to say they could be a second-place team. The Dolphins haven't figured out yet they need to blow it up, and the Jets are – they won't say they're rebuilding, but, I mean, I guess they're trying to retool this year and work around the talent that they have, but they don't have a quarterback either. So, you know, that's going to make it tough for them. But there's a spot there for New England to make a push this year.
Where do you come down on Diggs? We were talking about yesterday how he'll be received when he comes back to Buffalo wearing New England colors instead of Bills gear. And we know that the game last year against Houston, he was productive, and that was in Houston. He's a very polarizing figure. He was a polarizing figure. He was in Buffalo. I mean, is it too much for me to think to myself, you know what, I'm going to view him as one of the best wide receivers in Bills history and kind of look at the player and be like, he was really good for this organization when he was here, even though it didn't really end. The ending was complicated.
Well, Danger, I think it's because both of us, I mean, I just look at him, I'm not a Bills fan. Like, I covered the team. You were a Bears fan. Like, you know, everybody sort of has the Bills in their mind, but, like, I think I can look at it objectively the same way you do. I think Diggs was great for Josh Allen and great until it wasn't. And then when he left, he left. Now, look at it. It couldn't have worked out much better for the Bills. He went to Houston. Okay, they beat him in that game. Why? That game ended up meaning nothing. You know, the Bills ended up winning the division, and, you know, Houston had a lot of injury problems. Ended up getting a second-round pick. It could have been better if Minnesota would have been bad this year, but they weren't. But they get that second-round pick. Diggs, unfortunately for him, tears his ACL. So now Houston's paying for it with that draft pick and don't even have the player anymore. He goes to New England, it's fine. Like, I don't see it as being this enemy number one of Stephon Diggs. You know, we were just talking about it in our podcast, and we'll put it out tomorrow. And I sort of pushed back on it. I said, I guess there'll be reaction. Like, if he catches a pass for a touchdown, does something big, points at himself, then you're going to hear a lot of boos. Honestly, you were at the games. You've seen him at the games. He was immensely popular.
Yeah.
Until he wasn't. I mean, you know, the yard signs, Allen and Diggs, like, It was a great combination, and then it wasn't. But he meant a lot to Josh Allen when he did. I look at it as a net positive for the Bills, and then he went out the door, and they got a second-round pick for him, got him off the books, and Josh won the MVP. So now, listen, if he goes to New England and they start playing great and he's putting up huge numbers, it's going to feel different. I just don't know if I expect that to happen at his age coming off the ACL. I think he'll be good, but I don't think he'll be, at least this year, with the digs that we've seen in his prime before.
13 WHAM Buffalo Plus is Mike Catalana, our guest. Mike, we're under a month away from the NFL draft, and there is kind of one need. I think that's kind of glaring, unless you think that Dane Jackson is ready to step in, or maybe at some point Rasul Douglas. But if this is where we're at entering the draft, do the Buffalo Bills have to draft by need for a corner in the first round?
No. Now, and I just don't like when teams do that, and the Bills did it the year they took Elam, and they paid for it because they desperately wanted to get a corner. There's still players out there. You know, it's still not even April yet. Players will be coming in and out. There's still trades to be made. Depends on what happens. We always see this, too. After the draft, maybe there's veteran players that either are on the market or get cut loose. That's just what happens. I don't expect it. I think they could very well draft a corner high. I think if they have those 2 second-round picks, I think absolutely if I was them, I'd be taking – I think – look, everybody would like to see another wide receiver. I don't think that's happening. It could. I don't know if that's happening. They've got those 3 early picks. If I was them, I'd be D-tackle, edge, and corner. Somewhere amongst those 3, that's the 3 positions that I'd be looking at and taking the best fit that you think you have there. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Dane Jackson, listen, you know, I saw people get worked. Dane Jackson is back to be a backup. That's who he is. That's who he's going to be. It's interesting with Rasul Douglas. Thought he was okay. I think you can do worse than him, but you certainly need to do better. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'm with you, but I do not want to see them doing what they did that year. Beans ends up trading up. Elam was really a disaster in that case. And, you know, they were fortunate late, you know, when they got Benford, but there was no rule saying you couldn't get 2 corners in that draft. That's what they were hoping to do. So, yeah, just I don't want to say it. And I don't even know if there's that type of player out there, but they believe they can coach guys up. So, you know, look high, but doesn't have to be the first pick.
So, Mike, when we talk about, you know, some of the players that are out there, and you mentioned, you know, Bean moving up to get Kyrie Elam, that was a disaster. Yeah. It felt like he did that because the guy that they really wanted just got taken from them in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And Bean has been so fluid in that first round, rarely stays put. Is there something to be said for, you know, identify your guy and just go get him, whatever it takes. If you've got a defensive tackle that you hit it off with that you know is going to work in this defense, just go get him and don't even worry about – you have 21 draft picks between this year and next year. I think you'll be fine if you go and get your guy who can be a contributor on day one.
That's why I wanted Brian Thomas Jr. last year when they were looking at wide receiver. Instead of dropping back, I would have – you know, again, it's not – I don't know specifically what the Bills thought of Brian Thomas Jr., though he looked pretty good with the lousy quarterback play that Jacksonville got last year, and he still looked good. You ended up giving up a third-round pick later for Amari Cooper. You would have had an outside receiver who can play in the league right away, and that issue would have been off the table. He's a better player than Keon Coleman. Doesn't mean Keon can't come around, but, you know, certainly isn't so far. And it is funny. We were just talking about that. Obviously, the first draft, he moved up, and he got Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. Sat got Ed Oliver. Sat got when he got Greg Rousseau. Like, you know, moved up for Kincaid. Let's see how that ends up going. But outside of the Josh pick, you know, sitting still has probably worked out better than moving up, to be honest with you. But if you're going to move up for the guy you really need to get. And you know, I think in your case, what you're talking about there was the guy they wanted wasn't there. Now, they'll never officially admit that, but the guy they were wasn't there, and they were out of a bit of desperation and moved up, and they took the wrong guy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Catalina, Buffalo plus 13 Wham, joining us. Mike, yeah, the story beginning the week here. The Bills are back at Fisher, which that's great. We love that. We should all write a thank you note as well to Oak Hill because I think they play a big part of it. And it's always kind of year to year, but this is going to be the last year where, you know, the stadium, the new stadium, isn't open. So could we actually see this perhaps being the last camp? I'm just throwing that out there knowing that, hey, a lot of these teams are looking for other avenues to make money. I would think that you could make money in that new stadium hosting camp.
Yeah, I don't see them making any money on a camp. I mean, the teams that have it, that's not really a moneymaker. It's more about the facilities. I don't think anything changes with the new stadium. They'll still do their, maybe they do two of those, you know, where they bring everybody in. But I really don't. I think whatever they'll do in the new stadium, they could do at the current stadium, and they're not doing that. You know, because I really, maybe I'm wrong, and we'll see. But I don't see that as being a big factor. I think what they have is they like the mechanics of it. They like the way it works. And you see, like I see in Philly, like, you know, they only have a couple of open practices all summer. That's what I tell fans. I've got some Buffalo fans that will get in touch with us and be like, I wanted to come back to Buffalo and be in Fredonia. I'm like, listen, and if it moves from Fisher, it's going to Orchard Park. Like, they're not going to another college. And you're right. If they put it there, I guess. But I think it would be more that they believe that whole setup is better for them. I don't think it would be a financial thing for them with the stadium. I think it would be like they don't want to go away. They don't want to use that time and effort and money and do it. Because up to this point, they could have dropped out of this at any point, and they haven't. And we talk about it. I mean, McDermott, Bean, and Allen all like it, and Oak Hill ain't moving. Yeah. So like you said, that doesn't hurt.
Mike, I humor me for a second because I've been floating this out there for anybody that'll listen to me. And I know that the odds are slim, but we have the owners' meetings coming up starting here on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of move that would require ownership to be involved in this kind of move. I don't like how we collectively just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, they couldn't get Myles Garrett. Or, oh, well, they couldn't get Max Crosby. I guess we'll have to be okay with Joey Bosa. Like, I'm not good with that. I'm not okay with the idea that you could have an impact player on the defensive side of the ball, like a Garrett, available one second, not available, and just be like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to work with what we have. Not when there's a guy out there who's working on a deal right now who may or may not get signed at some point here this offseason to an extension. That's the guy down in Dallas. I'm wondering why other teams or are other teams inquiring about Micah Parsons. And man, I just can't get it'll be my annual plea that the Bills should go after a player of Parsons' caliber, because that's really what needs to happen to unlock this defense for the Bills.
Well, I agree with you. The talent that he has, I would say, and it's a rarity too. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's shown that talent and is still on his rookie deal, right? So if he were to sign this massive deal, I don't think Dallas is having those discussions at the moment. Like, there has to be two sides to this, and I don't know if they're. I mean, hey, listen, I can almost guarantee you most general managers in the league have called the Cowboys up to see what's going on there. They always reach out with stuff. Now, they'll do it in a way that they'll deny it, and as we see, people deny a lot of things. They'll deny it, but I think I wouldn't be surprised. He would never probably admit it, but that Bean made a phone call down there to say, hey, anything going on with Micah, you let me know. But if you're the Cowboys, like, what are you doing here? I mean, this guy is a absolute game changer, and he's young, and he's a very popular player. I mean, I know he does his podcast and likes to talk and all, but, like, yes, I don't think it's happening. I think Dallas will eventually sign, but they'll do it the Dallas way. They'll make the guy wait and wait and wait, getting pissed off, and then eventually they'll give him a big deal, because that's what they seem to do with Lamb and you know, what they've done with Dak and what they've done with other players. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's a difference, I think, between a guy who hasn't signed that mega deal yet and a guy like – I mean, you would have thought the Browns were looking to make a trade, and then they just turn around and give him a boatload of money. And Crosby, the same thing, like just a boatload of money. So it's not like the Bills aren't in on it and they traded him somewhere else. But I think if Micah Parsons was going to be traded, I absolutely do believe the Bills would be in on it. Doesn't mean they necessarily would get him, but I think they'd be in on it.
Yeah, come on, Terry. Just belly up to the bar with Jerry tonight, right, or this weekend, and get it done. Mike, who starts at quarterback the majority of these games this coming season for the New York Giants?
You know, I said they signed Jameis and Russell Wilson and didn't even sign the wackiest quarterback available on the market. You know, and he's still floating around out there. I have no idea what they're doing. Russell Wilson's going to be, what, on his fourth team in 5 years? He can't play anymore. Like, he'll show those moments like he did in Pittsburgh. If I'm a Giants fan, I would rather see Jameis Winston play. At least it would be entertaining. You never know where the ball is going to go. He's going to make some great plays. He's going to make some terrible ones. Russ is just not that guy anymore. He showed it in Seattle. He showed it in Denver that they gave him away when all that money and everything that they – and all the draft picks. He went to Pittsburgh. It just – I mean, they made the playoffs, but that was a terrible offense. I don't get it. Jameis shows flashes. Can you imagine now if they were to draft Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
And have that as the room, Deion's kid and those two guys? You know, Russ is talking about because he won the Super Bowl there how many years ago at MetLife.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean to these fans?
Right.
New York doesn't have football. Pittsburgh had one of the worst passing games you'll see last year, and now there's going to be somebody listening who's going to go by numbers. You watched them. You know what that passing game was. And the two quarterbacks they have are the two quarterbacks in New York this year, which is crazy. Like, it's just a mess. I'm going to say Russ is the starter, you would think, but I don't know. I don't see how this works out for Daboll and Shane.
Right.
not a good team.
Those lines, though, if it doesn't work out for them and they're out, and I think they should have been out after last season, but you're going into this season with them knowing they're on the hot seat, and if they don't make the playoffs, they're probably losing their job. I mean, if you're the organization, not the GM, but the organization, are you telling these guys, get us a quarterback so that when you are gone, we can actually move forward with somebody fresh and put a fresh set of eyes on the entire organization?
You know what? It's the worst place to be with a desperate GM, worse than a desperate coach. Because a desperate coach's job is to try to win games, right? Unless you're trying to tank, or at the end of the year, like with the Patriots, when you win a game you should have lost.
Right.
You're trying. But a GM trying to pick a quarterback to almost save your job, like to buy some time, is a terrible decision. Listen, I don't know how good Shedeur Sanders is going to be in the NFL. People that I would trust said he'd be the fifth or sixth quarterback. Those, maybe even Ward would be, compared to last year's picks. So you would have been talking about mid to late first round or second round pick, and now you're going to take him two or three. You're trying to decide, or three for them, trying to decide if he'd be the guy. The last thing you want is them just a bit of a Hail Mary here and saying we're going to take a quarterback and then hope it works out. It's a poorly run organization, and they're desperate. So I guess the sign of desperation would be to sign those two guys and then draft a guy probably higher than he should be taken. But that, if that's what they do, they got to put Hard Knocks back in New York again, because it'll be hilarious to watch.
Do we have Met highlights tonight on 13 Wham in Houston, Mike?
I got them at 6 o'clock. We're going to show some early highlights. It's opening day. It's opening day. This is when you'll be excited. You know. Man, that pitching staff, though. Whew. You okay with that staff?
We're fine, Mike. We're fine. Really? Do you remember how last season ended? Danger, tell. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think he remembers.
Well, you mean the Dodgers won the World Series. The rest of the stuff.
That was how the season ended. Game five. We remember game five, yeah. I do remember
that. It's just irrelevant. The rest of it's irrelevant. It'll be a cute story. Are you going to have anybody sing post-game this year?
Oh, Mike, yeah. I brought up earlier to Gene, and I'm actually going to Citi Field for the first time at the beginning of May. I'm going with some friends who are Met fans. I've never been. I'm excited to go because I just like being at a ballpark and watching a pro baseball game. But they're doing now at Citi Field, they're doing the Burroughs races. So you've got the subway for, the zoo, the giraffe for the Bronx, and you've got
the ferry for Staten Island.
The ferry for Staten Island, for every borough is represented, and they're going to run races. And I'm like, God, that just sounds adorable.
They operate like a single A team in Staten Island. They do. They have players singing post game, and oh my God. Well,
Mike, see, this stuff used to work on me. I used to get upset. And then I realized I took a cue from other Met fans. Oh, let's look at Grimace throwing out the first pitch. Look how lowly. Yeah, you know what? We own it. We're the fun fan base. Like, the parallel
you're the fun fan base.
It is. It's so much fun. Look, someday you're just going to sit back and be like, maybe I should just have a little more Met fandom in my life. It should be more like those people.
No, you know what it's like. Danger, that shot. The Met fan, the two guys standing next to each other, somewhat disheveled, always have that same clueless look on their face, looking at the game. They try to put their hat on backwards for like a rally. It's just so good. It's so good. Yeah. Mike, that's back to normal this year, buddy. Here we go.
Thanks so much for making time for us on opening day, laying it all out, stepping in for Dan Fates. What's coming up at Buffalo Plus that we could check out this week?
So we just recorded our podcast. So we talk a little digs. We talked about the Hallmark movie.
Oh, that's right.
We haven't hit on that yet. We'll get to that.
Yes, we talked about who would be the worst actors, who would be the best actors. Because it'll be hilarious. Jenna's already put in her name. She wants to be the reporter in the movie. She's a big Hallmark fan. She says she knows they're hokey, but she likes them. So we'll push for Jenna to get a part in the movie. I don't know if that would happen. But then we also talk Diggs. But we talk about the D-line, some of the stuff we were talking about, like where they are now and what they need and some of the players who could be available to them, how aggressive they should be, the type of players that are out there. So we start doing that. We're going to do that with different position groups. Mainly, you know, we're talking D-line, a little bit of wide receiver, and corner. So those would be the spots that we'd be looking at. So, yeah, but for now it's D-line.
If Jenna doesn't get in for this Bills movie, I'm sure they're going to move this around, maybe to other sports, that someday maybe Hallmark will have Mets fan a love story at some point, Mike.
And you can do it. You can be the host.
Amazing.
That would be so good. Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Mike. Thanks for the time.
All right, fellas. We'll talk to you later.
You got it. There's Mike Catalana, 13 Wham Sports, Buffalo Plus, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I have so much respect for Mike.
Yep.
I can't fire back. He's our guest on the show.
He is.
You're just laughing.
I think it's hilarious.
Laughing.
That's it. I think it's hilarious. I can't help it. Whenever I see two fan bases go at each other, I think it's funny. Rival fan bases getting after each other. It's why I laugh whenever I hear somebody say Green Bay sucks. It just makes me laugh. You know, I laugh because I think, okay, we're saying that as a fan base about a team that has absolutely dominated us for the better part of my life, but we just say it just to say it. And, you know, I'm sure they have their own. I think it's what makes all of this fun.
You know, there was a friend of our show that was in that Chiefs love story. Alex Gold was an extra in that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. His screen time was all of 2 seconds. He's walking into a restaurant.
No kidding.
Would you go out to Buffalo and be an extra?
I would not. I know a lot of people that would. I call those people fame whores, and it's not really my thing.
Duffy would do that.
Ooh. I don't know. That one I don't know about. Ryan Duffy, yes.
Yes.
Ryan Pat Duffy, yeah. Maybe not. Ryan Duffy, probably. I don't know.
No, but see, well, Jenna would actually have a real role, not an extra. She'd be like one of the reporters there. So
that would be legit. I would say if you have a legit part, if you audition and you get a legit part, that's better than just showing up to be an extra. I'm not interested in. I mean, I got a lot going on. I don't know if I can drop everything to be an extra in a movie just so you could see me for 2 seconds.
Well, they start filming in July. It's a holiday movie. This gives you some idea. Boy, the post-production must be really, really, like, Hollywood movies usually take more than a year. Nope, film in July, out in November,
honestly,
boom, done.
Honestly, can't even believe that they're filming in our country or in our state because it's so much of what happens in Hollywood gets farmed out to other countries because it's more cost-efficient to do it in other countries. Game shows that you watch, studios in Hollywood don't get used because it's too expensive.
Do we have a tariff on that, maybe? No,
I'm
sorry.
Mean, maybe,
sorry.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's surprising to me that they're actually filming it here. They didn't farm it out to, I don't know, Ireland. You could probably film a Buffalo movie in Ireland if you wanted to.
But it is cool, like when you see like a movie, like where was it for Fisher football? Going to Hilbert. Okay, I've never been to Hilbert College. In fact, it wasn't really even Hilbert. It was the high school, St. Joe's there. So I'm driving, I get to there, and I'm like, wait a second. I know where I am. That's the hotel. That's the restaurant from Buffalo 66.
Ah.
Have you ever seen that?
I'll add it to the list.
Very twisted movie.
Christina Ricci.
Correct.
Yeah. Never saw.
Okay.
I'll add it to the list.
No.
There is no list.
Realist Mike Danger.
Buffalo 66.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, do we have films that, like, oh, yeah, in Rochester? I'm not talking about the Spider-Man thing.
Spider-Man was kind of cool. Watching the Spider-Man scene, oh, that's downtown Rochester. Like, the scenes where they filmed in downtown Rochester, you could absolutely tell, oh, that's downtown Rochester. That's kind of cool.
Have we ever had anything else other than that, though?
Not recently. That's the last one I can remember.
Yeah, somebody help us out.
Yeah, that's the last one I can remember. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I mean, I know it was an inconvenience for a lot of people, but I thought it was kind of fun that we had, you know, people shooting on Main Street in Rochester. When you watch the movie, you're like, oh, yeah, that's Main Street. That's definitely Rochester. We've got the Monroe County Sheriffs and RPD hockey players coming in. It's Hometown Heroes Night at Blue Cross Arena tomorrow night. And before the Amherst take the ice, the RPD and the Sheriff's Office face off, and we'll meet a couple of the players here in the 4 o'clock hour. Also give you a free pair of tickets today. Do we still have tickets for Disturbed?
We do.
Yeah, let's do this. A free pair of tickets to see Disturbed, the Sickness 25th anniversary tour with Daughtry and Nothing More. That's happening here on April 4th, which if I'm not mistaken, I want to say that's next week, right? That we were, God, time's moving fast.
Next Friday, yes.
Next Friday. So tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. A free pair of tickets to see Disturbed in the Sickness 25th anniversary tour. If you call or 5 now at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.